You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Baptist Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm really excited about today's topic and conversation and guests. We have with us pastor, teacher, and author Teron Gaddis, and also Ramona Dindy, who is Chief of Staff of Pastor G Ministries. And I want to welcome you both to the podcast.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian, and we appreciate this opportunity to share with you.
Well, and some people may remember your previous time on the podcast where we were talking about racial reconciliation, the church, and that conversation just was widely viewed, and we're glad to have you back on the podcast, Pastor Terry. I thought we could talk about prayer. You know, as the church, it's the most obvious thing, but we forget about it. And I know there's some new books and resources that we'll be talking about today. But I thought, Pastor Gaddis, we could start out just with the topic. Why has God put this so much on your heart?
Well, many times those things that ought to be major become minor in the church. And prayer ought to be the major thing that we do. Jesus said himself that my house should be called a house of prayer, but you made it something else. And I think a lot of times in our pursuit to build his church, we cease to build it the way he has designed it to be built. It ought to be built upon prayer. And so prayer meeting and prayer services and prayer breakfasts have not been attended as well. We have been in Southern Baptist life. We have been talking much about the numbers and the decline of people coming to Christ and baptisms. I think it can be directly related to the time we spend in prayer. We may spend a lot of time in worship and praise and Bible study, but never that much time in prayer. It's amazing that we have placed that somewhere else. We've given it to a group to do. You know, we have intercessory prayer warriors now, and we have prayer groups now, rather than the church being in prayer, because there's no power in the church without prayer. Unless we invoke God's presence and his power in the church, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit, it came after a season of prayer. Jesus tells them, you're going to be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. And then his command is not to go anywhere yet, but to go wait. And while they're waiting, they're praying, and God answers the command that the Holy Spirit was going to come in chapter 2 that he promised in chapter 1. But it only came when they were in one place on one accord and they were praying.
That's powerful. You know, you've written a book here about praying for pastors specifically. Why was that important to you to focus on that specific ministry as prayer?
Yeah, I've been in ministry for 35 years, 36 years. I've been pastoring for 26 years, and at the same church, I've seen a lot and I've experienced a lot. And I went through a very, very, very turbulent time in ministry, very difficult time in the building project. Went through a difficult time in struggling with leadership and getting the church on the right track, and how the enemy came into our church and disrupted a lot of things, and for many years I was hurt, I was broken, discouraged, deeply depressed, and wanting to walk away from ministry, and I was angry. And I was angry because I thought that the church didn't love me. And I said, well, I needed them to pray for me. I needed them to protect me. And I was angry at them, but I was angry at them about something I didn't teach them.
Hmm.
I hadn't taught them their responsibility to the person and the personality in the pulpit. They understood my responsibility to them. They understood as shepherd, I was to lead and to feed and to care for the sheep. And whenever there was something happening in their home, then they would call me and I would go and pray with them. When they had loved ones that were ill and they were in the hospital, I would go sit in hospital rooms and sit in funeral homes, putting together, you know, programs for life celebrations and funerals, and by the graveside with them. When their child was in jail, I would be there for them. But I didn't teach them that when what happened in their house happened in mine, what to do. A lot of times as pastors, we either fall into believing our own press, that we're super, or we have this idea that if I share my prayer concerns, maybe the people who follow me may not see me the same way.
Hmm.
We ought to know that we don't want them to see us. We want them to see Christ.
Yeah.
We don't want them to come to church because of the person and the personality of the pulpit. We want them to come to church because of the person we represent. And being honest with our churches helps our church understand that we're in a partnership. And that one of the things that we have tried to do is to teach the people in the church how to pray for their pastor. A lot of times people sit in the pews and they have wonderful pastors. And the pastors have blessed them and they want to do something. They don't know what to do. The highest and the holiest and the heaviest thing that you can do for your pastor is to pray for them. My childhood pastor, Pastor J. Reed Jr., always taught us during preaching time. He would always say that if there's going to be power in the pulpit, there has to be prayers in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was teaching is that there's a partnership and a collaboration between what happens in the pew and what happens in the pulpit. And if we want to have powerful proclamation, if we want to have life-changing word come from the pastor and the pulpit and through the preaching, and we want to see children get saved, and we want to see adults be delivered from things, there has to be a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in the pulpit. And it will not happen if the people in the pews are not praying for the pastor. That's how God has designed this, and we've lost sight of it. But I think that the biblical record plays out and teaches us that that is a partnership that God has joined together. And what God has joined together, we ought not try to divide.
Good word. You know, you mentioned Dr. Reed, who so many of us look up to, and you know, the other pastors you're encouraging us to pray to is just very meaningful. But we think about how Satan's not pleased with effective ministers, and so these people need our prayers and calling on God's protection. Ramona, I thought you could talk about what this book has meant to you, and then also tell us about the devotional, the We Win, as well, and take a moment with that.
I think one of the most important things is that it really brought to light that the pastor is human, and that we cannot place such high expectations on a man who is human. And it helped me to realize that the most powerful thing we can do, because especially working alongside a pastor and you see some of the personal struggles and the ministry struggles, and so you want to do things. And I have learned personally that the most important thing I can do is to keep the pastor lifted up in prayer, because God is limitless. And so when I pray to God, God will not do what Ramona wants done. He will do what is best for Pastor Gaddis and all of the pastors that we pray for in the Pastor G Ministries, because Pastor has taught us that in order for this world to change, then it's going to come through the church.
Yes.
And so the enemy is going to attack the church. And the first place he's going to attack is the head. And when the head is attacked, Pastor taught us just a few weeks back, then the sheep will scatter. But if we're praying and lifting up the pastor, then we don't have to. We can.
Yes. That's awesome. It's available at www.pastorgministries.com or by texting 405-622-8448. You know, you mentioned the Word of God in prayer. I think of the Bible commentary man, Matthew Henry, who talked about pleading the promises and praying the Word of God to God. Pastor Gaddis, I thought maybe we could talk about an example that you've seen throughout your years of ministry of answered prayer, or an example without maybe giving detail of names or anything like that. But is there a time where you just saw God did that and it was directly traceable to someone on their knees pleading the promises, calling out to God?
Absolutely. I'll give you a personal example in my own personal ministry. I had gone through a very difficult time in 2008. The market crashed, and we were in the building in a $2 million plus building project. The contractor had walked off the job. Our finance lender was on the edge, and they were very cautious at that particular point, and our membership began to shift, and there became a lot of worry and a lot of conversation and rumors and all of those things. In the process of that, my father passed away. I found him, his body laying next to his bed one Saturday morning, and right after that, 3 days later, I was doing his eulogy. I then fell ill a couple of weeks after that. I was in hospital for 2 weeks, and I could not get past all of those things that were going on. I preached because that's what they told me to do. The senior pastor said, you just need to preach your way through it. You just, you know, don't stop. Just keep preaching, keep ministering, and it's going to help you. I did it for about 60 days, and at the end of the 60 days, I realized I had nothing left. I was preaching with the same enthusiasm and everything, but I was empty. And so I went to my church and told them I need some time off. So they agreed publicly, and then we had some issues after that even became even worse. I found myself in the hospital again, this time for almost 27 days. And I had to be on a walker. And I used to want to go to church. I'd be laying in the hospital bed, and I would, every Sunday, every Wednesday, I would just cry because I wanted to go to church. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, and I wanted to go to church, and I had to build my strength up to do so. And one Sunday I walked in and made my way to my seat. Each Sunday morning we have a group of intercessory prayer warriors that pray. When I came in, normally I come in and I lead prayer at some point, but this Sunday couldn't do it. I didn't have the words to put together. I was so depressed, so down. I had been at home for a month, and I was so down, and I couldn't even get the words out. And I was sitting there, couldn't stand. I sat, and all of a sudden, unbeknownst to them, they began to pray for me. They didn't even see me walk in. But when I came in and I sat down, the Holy Spirit shifted their prayers, and I heard them for 30 minutes lift my name up in prayer, lift the concerns of my life up. And that was the day when the Lord birthed this idea of praying for pastors. Because it was that day that I realized the power of prayer and the power of knowing that those individuals who I've ministered to have learned how to minister to me. Those prayers lifted me up. They encouraged me. They strengthened me. And from that day forward, it has been my life mission to help other pastors to experience that. There's nothing more powerful than to hear your name lifted up out of the mouths of the people that you have fed, that you've led, that you cared for, and there's genuine prayers and concern for them. If our churches are going to be powerful, it's not going to come through programs, it's not going to come through pizza parties, it's not going to come through anything else. It's going to come through prayer. You can have every activity under the sun. God is not going to bless those things, but he has promised that he will bless and answer our prayers. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a powerful word. Thank you for sharing that. Ramona, can you maybe think of an example that you've heard about or experienced yourself of answered prayer that might you might want to convey?
Well, I will say this, during this 31-day campaign, we have two things that we're doing. We're praying for pastors where we send them encouragement each week, and then we have our prayer champions from churches all across this country that are praying. Well, because I work behind the scenes, I am able to receive the responses from those pastors who we are praying for. Just on last week, I was going through the responses, and I received it seemed like the floodgates opened. I received over 20 responses from pastors who were saying, for the past 10 days, I've been going through a trying time. I had surgery. I thank you. I felt your prayers. I've seen God working. I'm now recovering something that could have been, you know, fatal. I came through, and now I'm recovering. I had another pastor who has experienced death of his sister, three different family members, a local pastor here, who responded and said, we thank you so much for your prayers and your ministry, and then also teaching the people in my congregation to pray for me because I have seen God working. I see him working on the hearts of the people. And I think what we have to remember is that we cannot change anyone. We can be the instruments that God uses to answer prayer. But when it comes to a heart change and a mindset where you get people to actually become have a lifestyle of prayer, God is the one who will change the hearts. And through this campaign, like I say, we have seen, and I had to share them with Pastor Gaddis because I wanted him to be encouraged to know that what he is doing is God is helping to bear fruit. Because pastors, like I say, they just came and they said, thank you. I see things being done in our church. We went to the Holy Temple Baptist Church, and Pastor spoke at their prayer breakfast. And the pastor of that church told Pastor Gaddis and I that they're in the middle of a building project. And there was something that came up that could have been, I guess, negative, but because of the fact that pastor had just come in and helped to teach the people the importance of praying for the pastor and praying for what God is doing in the church, what could have been negative actually turned out to be positive. And so receiving that encouragement and knowing that God is still faithful and he still answers prayer.
Amen. Well, thank you both for sharing that. We're actually out of time for this segment. I wanted to do something we don't always do on the podcast, which is I'll close in prayer in just a moment. But again, check out PastorGMinistries.com to get the Praying for the Pastor's book or the We Win devotional. Really affordable, can be ordered individually or maybe a group pack, and then check them out on Facebook as well. Pastor Gaddis, Ramona, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian, for having us.
Let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We do lift up pastors all across this land and across the globe who labor for the gospel. Help them to know,
yes,
that their labors are not in vain, that you will strengthen them as they cry out to you. Lord, we desire so much for many to come to Christ and for reconciliation and redemption and healing to come about. And we ask that you would strengthen them in their resolve. And when the enemy attacks, help them to press into you. Oh, yes. Make us as your people more faithful to day by day by day lift them up to you and realize that they are human and flesh and struggle and that they need your grace. Thank you for the conversation time we've had today.
Yes.
And I pray that people would use this as a reminder to pray more for pastors. We love you because you first loved us, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Thank you, Brian.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.